We're turning to 1 Samuel chapter 3 again this morning, continuing in our studies in this book, and coming to the third chapter, or continuing in the third chapter. We were here the last number of weeks. We'll commence to read at verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 11. It's a chapter that deals with the call of Samuel, and also with God's words to Eli, and Eli's interest in God's word at that time. So let's read from the 11th verse. "And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Amen. We'll finish there at verse 21, and may the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Verse 17 is a key verse in this particular section of the chapter. When Eli calls Samuel and asks them, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. There are many things about Eli that we ought to avoid with all of our hearts. For example, we've looked at some of these over the last number of weeks. For example, we remember that he was mistaken on the issue of prayer. When Hannah came to the temple and poured out her soul before the Lord, Eli thought she had been drunken. And I think that was partly due to the fact that maybe at that particular time in history, there were very few who came to the temple to pray as Hannah had prayed at that time. She was earnest, she was fervent, she had come before God, she had continued in prayer, pouring out her heart before the Lord, and that was an unusual thing at that time. And so Eli was unfamiliar with it, and he doesn't understand what's taking place, and he thinks that she has been drinking. So he's mistaken on the issue of prayer. We ought to avoid that. We ought to rejoice when some come to pray and seek the Lord. And of course, that ought to be how it is with us also. He was also mistaken in his dealings with his own children, his own sons. They sinned. That sin was reported to him. But Eli did not restrain them. Even though he knew what was taking place, even though he knew the impact of what was happening upon the other people of Israel and upon the temple services, he did not deal with his children as he ought to have. And so he was mistaken also in his own dealings within his own family. He also failed to take any real heed to the warning that the man of God brought him in chapter 2. We know from those verses, verse 27, that there came a man of God unto Eli, and he began to speak to Eli about sin and about the trouble in his own family. And it seems in a large way that Eli, while he listened to that message, didn't really take a lot of heed to it. And so he failed to take any real heed to what God was saying through that man at that time. He also honored his children before God. I think that's one of the saddest statements in the entire passage, that he honored his children before the Lord. And how often that happens. Fathers and mothers who think more of their children than they do of God. And Eli lived in that way. He was charged also, he had behaved in such a way that he was charged with kicking against the sacrifices. Chapter 2, verse 29, you have reference to that, where he was charged with that, not only his sons, but Eli himself, because his failure to act as a parent ought to as a parent ought to have acted, resulted in many people just despising the sacrifices, despising the worship of God, and it was charged with Eli. Eli was charged with kicking against the worship and the sacrifices of God. So there are things about this man where really it was a catalogue of failures, and there are things about him that we ought to avoid with all our hearts. It seems, in when you read his life story, that here's a man who is a man of God. He's in a position of authority. He is in a position where he ought to be leading worship correctly. And yet it seems that he is just failure after failure after failure. And it's possible for a man of God, for the people of God, to get into such a state that we almost completely lose out with God and go from one mistake and one failure to another. So the life of Eli ought to be a very solemn lesson to us. There are things about him there that we ought to avoid. And yet it's not all desperate, and it's not all careless. It's not all doom and gloom when you look at Eli's life. There are things here that are good, things that we can learn from in a positive way, and things that indicate spiritual life and spiritual discernment. And it's those things that I want to draw your attention to this morning. First of all, we discover that Eli recognized that God was speaking to Samuel. Look back there at verse 8. The Lord had been calling Samuel. Samuel had risen from his bed and had gone to Eli on three occasions. And then eventually Eli realizes that this is the Lord. And in verse 8 we read, Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. The word perceived there just means understanding. It means discernment. God had not been speaking to Eli for some time directly. He had spoken to him through the man that he had sent in chapter 2 in verse 27. And we know from chapter 3 in verse 1 that the word of God was precious in those days. It was rare. There was no open vision. So there wasn't that public declaring of God's word. And God has not been speaking to Eli directly. He has been speaking to him through the man that he had sent to him. But Eli still understands, for all of that, Eli still understands that when God is calling Samuel, that it is indeed the Lord who is calling him. And that's a very interesting thing. He perceives, he understands that it is the Lord who is calling him at this particular time. And I think there's an element of resignation in Eli's heart. He didn't just tell Samuel to go and lie down when the Lord was calling him. He didn't tell him just to ignore what the Lord was saying. But he tells him to go and listen and to say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Eli doesn't complain that God is not speaking directly to him. Rather, he tells this young man, young Samuel, to go and listen to the Lord. There's something of discernment there, something of a wise perception, wise understanding. I think there's something of a great change. Eli did not recognize all that was taking place when Hannah came to speak to the Lord. But he does understand something that's happening when the Lord comes to speak to Samuel. And that's very important. So he recognizes that God is speaking to him. There's some discernment, some perception there. But notice also he showed a great personal interest in knowing what God had said to Samuel. Look at verse 17. And there are three phrases there that demand our attention. He said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he hath said unto thee. So there are three phrases in that verse. What is the thing that the Lord said unto thee? That seems to be a statement that would encompass all that Eli is asking for. What did the Lord say to you? And then he said also in the verse, I pray thee, hide it not from me. So he emphasizes this a little more to Samuel. I pray thee, what is the Lord saying to you? And then he emphasizes it even further with that third phrase, God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything or any of the words from me of all the things that the Lord said unto thee. So three times, three phrases Eli uses here to emphasize his personal interest in knowing what the Lord had said. Now that thought opens up a number of things. Eli was willing to hear the word of God from a much younger person. Think of that very carefully. Eli's a very old man.
Yet he's asking a very young man, tell me what God has said to you. He didn't despise this young servant of God. Eli is ready to hear the word of God from the person to whom God has been speaking. He realizes that Samuel really is only the spokesman, that God has given him a message, and that Samuel is just simply the spokesman to relay that message to him. That's important for us to keep in mind. Sometimes we look at the messenger more than we listen to the message. We get accustomed to one kind of preacher, one kind of speaker, and sometimes we don't like another. And that can happen. It can happen when we get accustomed to one particular person, and then we come to hear God's word, and it's somebody different bringing it, and we think, oh, it's different today. And we have a perception of that change, and we come sometimes to hear the preacher and not to hear the word from God. Eli, although Samuel's just a young person, he says to him, I want to hear. He's willing to learn from a younger person when it comes to the matter of the word of God. That's important for us as well. But notice too from verse 17 that Eli is anxious to know the whole counsel of God. Hide nothing from me. Hide not anything from me of all the things that the Lord said unto you. Hide not any word. Don't hide a word from me. Tell me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I think that's commendable. There is no doubt that Eli suspected that God was speaking to Samuel about his house, but Eli's family. I would suspect that Eli had guessed that already. That's why he's so interested in hearing this. And yet he wants to know the detail. He wants to know everything that God has been saying. Remember what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Maybe we should just turn over there for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, the older man, speaking to the younger man, and he encourages him in regard to his preaching, having outlined in the previous chapter something of the last days. He then tells him in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own kind lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. He was to preach the word, to preach the whole counsel of God. He was to tell exactly as God had spoken to him. Now, sometimes we accept that in theory. Yeah, we want to hear the whole counsel of God. We want to know all that God is saying to us. We accept that in theory. We accept that because we know that's really the best for us. And we accept it in our heads. But when a preacher comes and has to deal with some issue that affects us directly, something we're not particularly pleased with, then it's a different story. Or we come across in our own Bible reading something that challenges our own hearts, convicts us regarding sin or the path we're taking, then we're not just so sure we want to hear the whole counsel of God at all. And we're inclined to pick through the passages, pick through the chapters, especially if it comes close to the bone and close to our own hearts. But Samuel has listened to God's word. Eli comes, and Eli wants to hear all of it. He wants to hear every word that God has been saying to him. The whole counsel of God, if I can put it that way, he wants to hear exactly what God has been saying. That's how we ought to approach coming to God's word as well. Lord, tell me the whole word. Matthew 4 and 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said that man lives by not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. It's good for us to approach God's word that way. Lord, what do you have to say to me? Let me take every word. Let me listen to all of it. Even though it may deal with my sin. Even though it may deal with the way I behave and what I do as it was the case here with Eli. Lord, tell me the whole thing. Let me hear thy word. You'll notice too that his desire for the word of God was genuine and urgent. He says in verse 17, I pray thee, hide it not from me. Has the thought there, if I beseech thee. I pray thee, I beseech you now, Samuel, tell me. What has the Lord been saying? Eli was very earnest with this. He was pressing Samuel to tell him. And remember from verse 15 that Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He's afraid. He trembles at God's word. He understands the import of it. He understands something of the significance of what God has been telling him. And Samuel, as a young man, is afraid. But Eli presses him. I pray thee, tell me. Hide it not from me. I want to know, Samuel. I want to know now what has the Lord been saying. He's urgent in this. And I want you to see something that's very important. Eli doesn't want to go through that day without knowing what God had said. Look at verse 16. Verse 15, Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? When does that take place? It takes place in the morning time. Samuel has lay until the morning. He's opened up the doors of the house of God. And then Eli asks. Right at the start of the day, he wants to know the word of God. He wants to know what God has been saying to him. Just as the day is beginning. Before the work for that day commences, before he meets with the people, before he becomes active and involved as much as he could as an old man, he wants to know the word of God. I think that's important. We need to know the word of God, and it's good to come to the word of God early in the day. Now, there's some practical reasons for that. We come to the word of God before the activities of the day commence. We get to it before our minds become occupied with everything else. Yeah, we've got to live here in this world. We've got to go about our business. We've got to deal with the children. We've got to deal with work. We've got to deal with all the queries, all the questions, all the issues, all the challenges, all the decisions that come to us day by day. Those things are legitimate. Those things are normal. And yeah, we've got to deal with them, but it's good to get to the word before all of that starts, if we can. Before our minds become occupied with all those mundane things. It's good to get to the word early also, because that word will keep us from sin. It will act as a guard to our souls. If we read the word of God before we go out and face all those issues, all those challenges, then it'll act as a guard to us. And when temptation comes, we'll remember what we've read. We'll remember what we've meditated upon, what we've pondered. And it's good when we come to read in the morning time if we can. And I'll mention that in a moment or two. To pray the Lord applies the word to our hearts. So that when temptation does come, we have words there in our mind already. Thoughts there that God has brought to our attention. Some direction, some guidance that we have. That when temptation comes, when sin comes, there's a guard there. There's a verse that we can quote, there's a thought we can bring to mind, and that's good to do that before the day starts. The word of God will prompt us and guide us throughout the day, direct us as well. You know, we face issues, we need wisdom. Where can we get wisdom? But from the word of God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's why it's important, if we can. It's not always possible. And I understand that it's not always possible to get time first thing in the morning. I know that there are many who have responsibilities with children, young people, getting them out to school, getting breakfast and all of those kinds of things. But it's important. It's important at some time, as soon as we can, through the day, to get to the word of God. Now, I know Eli had probably all kinds of reasons for asking Samuel regarding this, but he comes the first possible opportunity, he asks Samuel, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? It'll be good for us sometimes during the day, you know, just to ask ourselves that question, ask that question of ourselves. What has the Lord said to me? What has the Lord said to me today? What has the Lord said to me this morning? What has the Lord said to us? Or if I was to ask that question of you this morning, what is the thing that the Lord has said to you? Have we taken time? Do we take time throughout the day, some stage in the day, to consider the Word of God? To ask, is there any word from the Lord? And of course there will be. There will be. So Eli has an interest, a personal, pressing interest in knowing the Word of God. And while it's in strange circumstances, because this has to do with judgment on his family, the Lord has been speaking to him already. Surely there's something there that we can glean for our own benefit and our own profit, that we might give ourselves to the Word of God as well. If we don't give ourselves to the Word of God, we don't learn to apply the Word to everyday situations, we don't learn to apply the Word in our own hearts and our own families, then we go astray. We go astray. We go the wrong direction. We do the wrong thing. We make the wrong decisions. And that's why the child of God needs to give himself and herself to the Word of God. Not just on a Sabbath day coming under the preaching of God's Word, but throughout the week. And not just reading it, but praying over it. Asking the Lord to apply that Word, to teach us, to direct us, to make that Word our meat and our drink, to come and to seek to live in the light of the Word of God. That's where we ought to be. That's where we need to be. And Eli comes first thing in the morning. Morning light, to ask regarding the Word of God. Notice then also that when he heard God's Word, he simply submitted himself to it. Look at verse 18. He said, after Samuel has told him everything, he hides nothing from him, then Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. When Eli asked Samuel to tell him all that God had said, Samuel did. He told him everything. He hid nothing from him. He listened to this older man asking him, tell me what God has said. And he obeyed him. He told him everything. He had remembered God's word, and he was able to relay that word back to Eli. He doesn't give his opinion on it. He doesn't add to it. He doesn't take away from it. He doesn't mix it up with his own philosophies. He just simply tells him the Word of God. I think that's very important for ministers. It's important for me to remember that. My responsibility is to receive a message from God and to relate to you. I'm to take the Scriptures and present them as they are. Not to come and give my own opinions on things, delve into things that God has not spoken of clearly, to come and to tell you what God has said. That's a preacher's job. And Samuel, of course, continues with that later on because he becomes a prophet of the Lord. And it's clear all through Israel that he is a prophet of God. And he preaches God's word. And that's the responsibility of a preacher. It's back to Paul's words to Timothy. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. It can't have been easy for Samuel to sit down and tell Eli all that God had said to him. Eli, do you know that God is going to judge your house forever? Because your sons made themselves vile and you didn't restrain them? That must have been a very hard message to bring. Hard words for hard times. And there are times when a minister, a preacher, has to bring a hard message. I don't think Samuel enjoyed doing that. He feared to do it. And sometimes ministers and preachers have responsibilities to bring a message that someone in the congregation isn't going to want to hear. But it has to be brought. If it's the Word of God, it has to be brought. And it's good to do with that kind of message what Eli did with this one. He took it as a word from the Lord. And that's important. Now there's submission there. He just simply says, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He He submits to God's word, even though it was a very hard message. A very hard message. He doesn't argue with God. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. He submits to God's word at once. There's no time of wrestling here. He doesn't complain against Samuel. He doesn't murmur against him. He just immediately says, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. He submitted not only to God's word, he submitted to God's way. God was going to judge his family. And Eli could say nothing against it, because he knew that what God was going to do was just, and what God was going to do was true. Eli knew what his sons had been doing. He knew the wickedness. He knew the sinfulness. He knew the immorality. He knew the wickedness there in the temple. And he couldn't argue against what God had said. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. He submitted also because he knew this was ultimately for God's glory. Even judgment was for God's glory. And submission to God is vital for the child of God. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That must have been one of the darkest days in Eli's life. To hear a message from a young man, a message that God had related to him throughout the night, a message of judgment, a message regarding the priesthood, regarding the future, regarding the sin, regarding your own failure because he hadn't restrained them. All of that in this message, and yet Samuel brings it to him and Eli has to acknowledge this is of the Lord. He doesn't challenge Samuel. He doesn't say to him, no, you've got this mixed up. You're mistaken. He just said it is the Lord. And he submits to it. Believer, we've got to submit to God's word. It's one thing to hear it, and Eli was keen to hear it. It's another thing to submit to it. And that's where we have got to be. When it comes to the word of God, as you read it yourself, as you come to hear it being preached on, we've got to pray, Lord, give me a submissive heart. Give me a submissive heart. Give me a heart that wants not only to hear it, but heed it. Let's not be like the man that James speaks of who goes and looks at his face in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what manner of person he was. Let's not just be hearers of the word, but doers of it as well. And sometimes that's where it breaks down. We hear God's word and we give nominal assent to God's word. We say, yes, that's right. That's what we should do. That's where we ought to be. But between hearing it and thinking that and actually doing it and letting it become practical and part of our lives, there's a breakdown. There's a breakdown. And of course, that ought not to be so. We've got to mingle our hearing with the word of God, our hearing of the word of God with faith. And let that mingling of the hearing with faith become practical. We don't only hear it, but we live it out. And we say, it is the Lord. It is the Lord's word. Therefore, it must be right. It is the Lord's word. Therefore, it must be best for us. It is the Lord's word. It must be the way for us to go. Even though it's hard. Even though it's hard. If the Lord reveals sin in our lives, then let's pray. The Lord gives us victory over that sin. The Lord reveals to us there's something we haven't been doing. Let's pray for strength to do it. If the Lord has revealed something we are doing, we ought not to be doing, let's pray the Lord gives us victory over that particular matter as well. Let's take the word of God and have it applied to our hearts. This was Samuel's first message. That has to be significant for a young man. Such a hard thing to have to say. Such a hard message. Such a hard set of circumstances. But in many ways, that's just the pattern of the rest of his ministry. You look at the last three verses of this chapter. Samuel grew And the Lord was with him, and had let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This was his first message, but not his last. And there were times in Samuel's ministry, and we'll look at this as we come on through the book, there were times in Samuel's ministry when he had to bring hard words to the nation. And maybe this was just a very clear crash course on being a prophet of the Lord. The Lord brings him this message to Eli, and Samuel faithfully declares it. The Lord had told Eli he would raise a faithful priest and a faithful prophet, reference to Christ ultimately, but Samuel was a faithful man at this time. Eli had not restrained his sons. He had not dealt with his sons as he ought to have done in regard to their sin. Samuel, he deals with it. He deals with it in that he brings the message of the Lord. And Eli says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Tell me the truth, he says. When he hears the truth, he submits to it and says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." As we come to the word today, if you come to the word at home, around your family altar time, or in the house of God, or privately, let's take heed to what God is saying. Let's not just read it and not really understand, not really take in what we're reading, but let's pray the Lord opens our heart to it. And not only opens our heart, causes that word to impact on our lives for his glory and for our good. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. We'll leave it there. We'll come back to this next week. In the month of March, as I mentioned recently, Dr. Charlie Barrett will be taking the 4 weeks in March, at least three if not four of them. And then we'll come back to Samuel. We'll finish this chapter next Lord's Day, God willing. And then we'll take a break from it for 4 weeks or so and come back into chapter 4 in the month of April. But do remember that, and I trust the Lord will bless these words to our hearts again this morning. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray today that thou will bless thy word to our souls. Lord, help us to hear thy word. Help us to have a heart for it, to desire to hear it. Lord, that thou would have us in that place where we say, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Lord, as we hear thy word, that we'll desire to take it to heart, to know what thou art saying to us, and to live in the light of it, to walk with thee in the light of thy word. So, Lord, remember us for good. We confess at times, we read it, and we hear it, and we go on our way as if we had never read it, and as if we had never heard it. Lord, save us from that, we ask. We pray today as we come around thy word a little later on, that thou will bless it to our souls, encourage us, Lord, through it. Lead us on with thyself. We pray we might be built up in our faith through thy word. We might be strengthened as we seek to live for thee. And Lord, thou will bless the families and the homes of this congregation in a special way. So abide with us today. Keep thy hand on us for good. And bless us now, we ask, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.